Bank with a level indicator where Dura Plus goes, water flows. This afternoon, brace for higher fuel prices as the National Petroleum Authority admits helplessness over rising global market prices and depreciation of the Ghana cedi.
We've got to 20 cedis per liter for diesel and petrol. Don't be surprised to see anything around 18 cedis per liter for diesel and petrol in the next 6 weeks.
But questions have been raised about government's gold for oil deal as the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors say it may not do much to salvage the situation.
We want to know what the Bank of Ghana government intend to do with regards to the gold for oil, to know how it intend to ramp up the other aspect of it, a private sector that has not necessarily benefiting from the same rate that bosses get.
Meanwhile, more worrying is the move by transport operators to increase fares by 30%.
So looking at how the situation is, we think that if we increase the fares by that margin, it will support us a little bit for us to keep on running our transport.
Also, as President Akufo-Addo prepares to commission the renamed controversial Ameri plant in the Ashanti region, the man who facilitated its introduction in 2016 says he feels vindicated despite facing prosecution attempts.
Remember, there was a whole lot of investigation after we lost power. National Security named it, all investigated. If they had found anything untoward, they would have taken us to court.
We're live in Kumasi, where the energy minister says the relocation of the plant to the enclave will lead to rapid industrial growth.
Very soon, there's so much power to help industrialization in Ashanti and beyond. When you go into the history of Ghana, Ashanti for years was the hub of industrialization in a country called Ghana.
The Asante Hene Otunfo said to the second has some concerns too.
Electricity company is in a situation where we don't know, but that also must be divested and give it to private sector.
So
why are we still holding it when we don't have the money?
We have details of that. Also, life is unbearable. We are forced to do anything to survive. That's the cry of hundreds of unemployed environmental health graduates as they demonstrated in Tamale to registrar their frustration after 3 years of joblessness.
After acquiring all this knowledge, so much money was spent. Some had to toil during vacation, being unemployed. After a year, you become a burden. So you have to go out and then do things which you thought wouldn't have done. That's why you went to school.
Court of Arbitration for Sport has set next month for when it will rule on George Freeh's disqualification to contest in last year's GFA presidential elections.
Also, the movement against corruption calls for the conversion of the microfinance and small loan center into a remote lending facility over growing reports of financial malfeasance.
Government ought not to be in the business of direct lending of funds to persons. If at all, maybe Maslok ought to be converted into an organ that on-lends to other private sector entities.
These are more coming up shortly with me, Mamyesi Nyamiche Thompson. Please stay with us. This afternoon, expect to pay more for fuel in the coming days as the world market prices rise and the Ghanaian cedi depreciates. Crude is selling today at $84 per barrel, but fears that with the tension in the Middle East, the product could hit $100 soon, and this may have implications for struggling economies like Ghana. The Institute for Economic Energy Security predicts pump prices could also hit 18 cedis for diesel and petrol in the next few weeks. Here's the executive director of the think tank, Nana Mwesi VII.
What we see from our index is that within the next 6 weeks, price on international price will go up. And so we'll be hit domestically by the same, rise or similar of prices. We also know that the cedi is not performing well against the dollar, the importing currency. That forex exposure also hits us domestically. We know that one as well. We also know very well that government may not be willing to reduce taxes and levies on fuel, and so we are not expecting any reduction in the coming 6 weeks. And so we can project that prices of gasoline, LPG, and gas oil, and the other derivatives may not drop in the next 6 weeks. That we can tell. The other thing we see is that it might potentially rather increase. We got to 20 cedis per liter for diesel and petrol. don't be surprised to see anything around 18 cedis per litre for diesel and petrol in the next 6 weeks.
And you heard Executive Secretary of ISEC, Nana Moisi VII. But in the midst of this are questions about government's goal for oil deal. The Chief Executive Officer of the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors, Dr. Patrick Ofori, says not much can be done.
And I'm saying that the program is still ongoing, so nothing has changed, and that prices of petroleum products are going up. You talk about the international prices going up, and I'm saying that whereas good for oil is an internal mechanism that you want to use to control that, you still do not control the external factors as to how international prices of petroleum products are going. That is not within our remit as a country to be able to control that. In addition to that, there are other variables that causes the prices of the product at the pump to go up. One is the exchange rate. As you said, if we're all made to believe that the good for oil stabilized the currency and it's still in session and it's still going on, boss is still being given that number of laycans, more than 50% of the laycans available to the industry, and yet the currency is still depreciating. Clearly, it tells you that there are other factors that really push that, and you cannot necessarily single out a particular policy as being the good, the best situation, and that we should look out for all the variables and seek how best we can address.
What pricing challenges have you faced within this window in terms of procuring the petroleum needed for your business? What challenges have you faced in terms of pricing?
But as it stands now, we are not, the numbers that we are seeing, that don't necessarily augur well for business.
Well, the National Petroleum Authority's head of economic regulation, Abbas Ibrahim Tasunti, says the authority cannot interfere in the pricing of petroleum products.
Just showing the slides that are about the world market price and the exchange rate. In a deregulated market, MPA does not regulate the prices. We don't tell the marketers that set your prices so and so. It's influenced by these key factors, the world market price, the exchange rate, and then the margins that they set. Taxes are also part of the price. They know very well that taxes on petrol have not been increased. But petrol prices are going up because of the world market price. Now, what are we doing? You remember that the world, we have a lot of geopolitical issues happening now. Once these things are happening, they will affect our price here in Ghana. MPA, for example, does not control the taxes. So I heard him talk about the taxes. The taxes, once they are passed by Parliament, the price builder formula has to reflect them.
Well, today the transport unions are engaging the Transport Ministry on proposals to increase fares following recent adjustment in fuel prices. Deputy Relations Officer with the GPRTU, Samuel Amwa, is proposing a 30% increment.
In January, the leadership came up with an increment of 20%, of which the ministry also came out that we did not use the right procedure to increase the fares, and so therefore we should come, of which we went, we put everything on paper, and that 20% negotiation started way back from January. Even by then, where the fuel price wasn't up to where it is now, the 20% that we came up with, we considered the cost of spare parts, the cost of lubricant, and that of the taxes, insurance and DVLA taxes.
Samuel Amwa is Deputy Public Relations Officer with the GPRTU, but the Relations Officer with the Concerned Drivers Association, David Agbonda, says his side will settle for a 20% increment. Well, what's the latest on this meeting? My colleague Kweku Asante joins me with more. Kweku, what more are we learning?
Well, Mamisi, it's been weeks in coming, but today the Transport Ministry, together with the transport operators, will meet between 4 and 5 p.m. at the Transport Ministry to finalize on this. We've heard from these transport operators who say they want 30% and government saying that they have to come down. At the end of today, we'll be able to get to know how much exactly transport fares is going to go up by.
Thank you, Kweku Asante. We're moving on. This afternoon, President Akufo-Addo is expected to commission the rebranded Ameri Power Plant relocated to Awomaso in the Ashanti region. The Kumasi One Thermal Power Plant, as it will be called, is a 250-megawatt power generation plant expected to ensure reliability and sustainability of the national grid. Despite all the controversy surrounding the renaming and relocation of the plant from Takoradi to Kumasi, President Akufo-Addo and the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, alongside the Volta River Authority, will be leading the commissioning of the plant. My colleague Nana Boachi Yadom joins us from the project site in Ahomaso. Nana, when is the president expected to be at the site to lead the commissioning?
Well, my ministry, at 2 p.m., President Akufo-Addo is this. Yes, fancy meeting, where we would have the K1 TPP project site alongside the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh.
Indeed, the Energy Minister is also talking about what this will do for the local economy. Tell us more.
Well, the Energy Minister has been touting the achievements of government when it comes to the energy sector. Well, he says that moving the plant from Takoradi to Kumasi is going to boost the country's economy and also help in industrialization. He says that from Takoradi to Kumasi, a lot of people are going to get employment, and also a lot of plants will be reintroduced into the Ashanti region to help ensure that the economy thrives and also to boost the electricity supply.
AXA Power and AXA Energy is going to build a huge plant also to serve to create power in Kumasi. VRA itself has started. In fact, it has other plants it's going to bring to Kumasi. And also, Senate is also bringing plants. I know they've bought a plant to also come and locate in Kumasi. Very soon, there's so much power to help industrialization in Ashanti and beyond. When you go into the history of Ghana, Ashanti for years was the hub of industrialization in a country called Ghana. And surely, under the Nana Osei Tutu II, Ashanti will come back as the industrial hub of this country.
Well, Nana, the Asantehene has also been sharing some concerns.
Well, the Asantehene has been hitting hard on government for shifting its attention from policy to industrialization. What the Asantehene says that, just like other countries, Ghana can also move into policies rather than industrialization, especially on behalf of government. So for the Asantehene, it is time for Ghana to move on, especially government, move out of industrialization or setting up companies, but rather focus on policies.
So, and it's about time Ghana realizes that it's not going to work for government to be involved in setting up companies and all those things. It doesn't work.
So,
government should be contained with policies, and then private sector should be involved in setting up industries and everything.
So
it works that way, and therefore you can attract more investments to come to the country, and it creates more employment. VRA and others are all government establishments. Let's give it out and divest to public private sector, and then we inject money in there.
So
and get the right people to do it.
So
Gridco and others and all are all for private sector. Let's give them the money, get the qualified people, divest government from it and let them do it.
So,
other than that, electricity company is in a situation where we don't know, but that also must be divested and give it to private sector.
So,
why are we still holding it when we don't have the money?
So,
we are not even able to collect all the taxes that we want.
So,
we are going to IMF for money and all those things. We are hanging on to industries that we cannot maintain and run.
So,
look, it's about time we faced realities and then decided on what government should be doing and what private sector should be doing.
So
that this is a testimony of private sector investment.
And you heard Asantehene Otunfo said to the second. Well, in 2015, the then power minister, Dr. Kwabena Donko, facilitated the entry of the Ameri plant into the country for $510 million. When the NDC lost power, his house was raided by the National Security over the deal. Dr. Kwabena Donko tells Joy News he did no wrong.
Remember, there was a whole lot of investigation after we lost power. National Security named it, all investigated. If they had found anything untoward, they would have taken us to court. Did we ever appear before any court of law? No. So it was kosher, it was above board. Unfortunately, innate desire for power, clothed in ignorance, is what is raising this issue today. After the government had thoroughly investigated, found nothing untoward, and indeed went ahead to renegotiate and did a worse job, they don't have the moral authority. Unfortunately, the young men raising this were too young to probably appreciate this at the time.
and it had former Power Minister Dr. Kwabena Dogko. Still, the power situation looks gloomy as persistent gadget repairs in thousands of cities are lost in discarded fish and meat products. That is the story of coastal operators as the erratic power supply continues to bite hard on businesses. Today on our Dunso Diaries, James Aveji takes us to the Malata market in Accra where coastal operators count their losses.
I'm here in the heart of Malata Market in Accra to explore the doomsaw diary of operators of frozen food shops, your popular cold stores. The operators of these cold stores, just like you and I, have been battling a peculiar problem in the past few months, doomsaw. Chocho, one of the owners of the cold stores here, tells me on several occasions he has had to dispose of some products which went bad because of the unstable power supply.
The cost of the fish has also gone up. The ones we used to buy for 100 cedis now sells for between 400 to 600 cedis. The moment the fish becomes tender, no one wants to buy them. We are usually left with no option than to dispose of the cold foods that have gone bad. We are pleading with government to resolve the power crisis.
Another trader, Aja, says 3 weeks ago, when the doomsaw became intense, tens of cartons of fish and meat products in his cold room went bad, running into loss of thousands of cedis.
The last time we threw about 10 boxes away.
James Kwesi Aveji on today's episode of Doomsaw Diaries for Joy News.
Still on power issues, traders at the Kijito market are demanding individual meter installations for the smooth running of the activities and also end the annual disconnection due to the non-payment of bills. The market was plunged into darkness for more than 3 days after the ECG disconnected power over a 7 million cedi debt. The market is currently running on a generator set. President of the Federation of Kumasi Traders, Nana Kwesi Prempeh, says many traders are regretting plying their wares at the market due to the outages.
People are suffering. A lot of the traders, some are even giving up why they even came to the market to rent shops, because it was anticipated that the new KJTI market was a new modern facility, unlike the old central market. So we thought that we were going to have everything smoothly, things were going to run perfectly. But unfortunately, when it comes to this electricity system in the market, it is causing a lot of disturbances in the market, because before you could say, Jack, within every 3 to 4 months, ECG disconnect power. Mm. All because, if for nothing at all, they are using the genset to eliminate the market. No one gets power. So the lights that they give currently through the genset is for the common areas. Because of the bulk meter, and looking at the nature and the kind of business we do there, give each shop a meter.
Away from power issues, let's head now to the northern region. Life is unbearable. We're forced to do anything to survive. That is the cry of hundreds of unemployed environmental health officers and assistants who took to the streets of the regional capital, Tamale, to register their frustration over their joblessness 3 years after leaving school. The group, with over 1,000 membership, is made up of the 2021, 2022 and 2023 graduates of the three schools of hygiene across the country. The group says all efforts to get the Ministry of Sanitation to get financial clearance from the Ministry of Finance for its membership has not been successful. Acting President of the Association, Elvis Ayaka, says they are now a burden to their families.
We are environmental health trained personnel from three schools of hygiene, namely the Accra School of Hygiene, Go School of Hygiene, and then Tamale School of Hygiene. We are graduates from Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Sanitation accredited institution. We went through training and completed. We were promised during school time that once we are completed, we will be getting our postings. Unfortunately, we completed 2021 and 2022, 2023. We've been in the house and no information has come as to why we've not been posted. So after acquiring all this knowledge, so much money was spent, some had to tell during vacation, parents have to cough in money, handout fees and hotel up and downs, traveling, acquiring that knowledge and coming back home, being unemployed. After a year, you become a burden. So you have to go out and then do things which you thought you wouldn't have done.
Now the Citizens Movement Against Corruption is recommending the conversion of the Microfinance and Small Loan Centre into a remote lending facility. Maslok was originally set up to provide micro and small loans for startups and small businesses with fast, easy and accessible microcredit and small loans to grow and expand their businesses as well as to enhance job and wealth creation. But the state agency has come under intense criticism over the increase in cases of financial malfeasance. Just yesterday, today, ex-Maslok CEO Sedina Tamaklo was jailed 10 years for causing financial loss to the state, raising further concerns about the integrity of Maslok. Co-chair for the Citizens Movement Against Corruption is Adam Senanu.
If you allow yourself to be influenced by any party or group, you're going to end up with a situation where things run out of hand. So probably the immediate thing is this should not be about political appointments. What kind of system can we develop that allows the screening and selection of individuals who have competencies and experiences and are independent, so to speak, of political parties in power? But ultimately, I think that government ought not to be in the business of direct lending of funds to persons. If at all, maybe Maslok ought to be converted into an organ that on-lends to other private sector entities that have a proven track record and expertise in doing this professionally with a good historical record of making profits over time.
You're still listening to the Midday News. We'll take a break. When we return, we have sports. And later, has the free senior high school policy indeed benefited more than 5 million students as claimed by both the education minister and the president?
5.10 million children having so far benefited from this SHS policy since it was instituted in September 2017.
Welcome back. Mubarak is here with sports.
Yes, and the Court of Arbitration for Sport has confirmed to Joy Sports that the much-awaited verdict regarding George Ifrie's disqualification from the 2023 GFA presidential elections will be announced in May. This decision could either maintain Ketu Kriku as president or necessitate the holding of a new election. Muftar Nabila Abdullahi has more.
Joy Sports understands that the communication is expected on May 13 when it will be awarding its decision on the matter involving George Ifrie and the Ghana Football Association. Mr. Ifrie was disqualified from the GFA presidential election in September 2023 after the Elections Committee cited his failure to meet the requirements to be eligible to contest for the position of president of the football governing body. He decided to go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport seeking some reliefs, and one of such reliefs was that the Court of Arbitration for Sport should declare the GFA elections null and void and order the Ghana Football Association to organize the elections again. Should it happen that the Georgia Free wins the current matter at the Court of Arbitration for Sport, the Ghana Football Association would have to go through another election process where he will be eligible to contest. However, should it happen that he loses, Ketu Kriku will continue as president of the Ghana Football Association.
That's my colleague Muftar Nabila Abdullah with that report.
Thank you, Mubarak. Now, the Free Senior High School initiative stands as a prominent political campaign commitment in Ghana's Fourth Republic, ranking at the forefront of the Akufo-Addo administration flagship programs. Moving forward to 2024, both President Akufo-Addo and Education Minister Yaose Duchum have claimed that the total number of beneficiaries has surpassed 5 million. But how accurate is this figure? Joy News' research desk has more in the following report.
During the launch of the Smart School project on March 25th, the president, when he mounted the stage to speak, reiterated the total number of beneficiaries under the Free Senior High School program.
5.10 million children having so far benefited from this SHS policy since it was instituted in September 2017.
On the same podium, the president and his education minister could not sing from the same hymn book as they gave varying accounts of the total number of beneficiaries under the program.
And today,
some 5.7 million children who are our own children, brothers and sisters, have benefited from the program.
The difference in numbers has raised suspicion regarding the actual total number of beneficiaries under the free senior high school program, adding to the existing confusion surrounding the reported figure of 5 million beneficiaries. Let's approach this analysis by focusing on one of President Akufo-Addo's statements regarding the program.
Some 503,000 children entered senior high school this year, the highest ever enrollment of children into senior high school in a single year in our history.
This raises significant question if the current enrollment of 503,000 is indeed the highest in Ghana's history, then how is it possible for over 5 million children to have benefited from the program in just 6 academic years? Unless the government is using a different methodology, it is difficult to understand how the total beneficiaries in 6 years could surpass 5 million when the highest enrollment in the period under review does not even reach 600,000. Even if the highest enrollment of 503,000 was recorded in all 6 academic years, the total number of children covered by the free senior high school program will not exceed 3.1 million. How did the government arrive at the 5.3 million or 5.7 million total beneficiary statistics? Could it be that each child was counted multiple times for each year spent under the program?
Isaac Ofiejes with our research desk. Now, prostate cancer is a common type of cancer in males, but it is highly treatable in the early stages. That is according to urologist Dr. Mary Monibote. Now, speaking on Ultimate Health Show with Notidria, here she urged men 40 years and above to regularly check for signs.
Most often than not, it's silent, like you said. They may not present with symptoms. That's why for the high-risk group, it's important to do their PSA periodically.
Okay.
So when I say high risk group, someone who has a positive family history of prostate cancer, usually a first degree relative like your father or your brother, and then people of African descent. So then you would say that then everyone here, basically in the country, any male above 40. So that's the case we seem to be making for checking your PSA at age 40.
Medical doctor Theophilus Kwame Thompson has been advising men on what they can do to stay safe.
Actually, people know a lot about this PSA thing, prostate screening. People have actually been doing PSAs even from their 30s. They have been checking and then they bring the results, always fine. I'll check in the next year or 2 years. But knowing what exactly it means, and
it must be interpreted.
It must be interpreted.
Within and its proper context.
Yes, and sometimes we have other things like if you can't remember Dr. Botej, you talk about PSA velocity.
And so the men out there, go do your checks. And that brings us